Let's just start with what is your musical background?
My musical background. Well, I started like most other kids and started playing rock when I was 12. Well, I should say I started clarinet when I was 8, but that doesn't really count. But yeah, I started, playing rock when I was a teenager, and then got into jazz, and then into classical, and then into world music, and I got pretty eclectic at a pretty young age. And I'm from Detroit, and there was a DJ on one of the public stations that used to play a lot of music from around the world, and I'd love to find out his name. I don't remember it, but he would play like Balinese gamelan music and then Herbie Hancock sextet music. So I guess I have a pretty eclectic background from an early age. I think I was 13 or 14, and I would be listening to the radio late at night, just going on these journeys with this DJ.
Okay. So what is the first thing you do when beginning to write a score?
Well, TV and film is slightly different, but generally, I start by working on the sound universe, which is either a combination of sound design, picking sort of the instrumental combination, and then I'll work on the themes. I work on themes, and then I might also work on some of the percussive loops, if that's the kind of thing that's appropriate. So basically, I'll just I'll get my box of tinker toys all ready before I start constructing the score that's appropriate for the project. Now, with television, obviously, it's a little different, especially with a series like Dexter, where this is the fifth year, so it already has an established sound, and I'm adding to it. So I might just, sometimes what I'll do before I start a season, I'll write out some longer versions of themes that came up as short themes, to see where they might go, put a bridge to them or alternate melodic material to them, and then that's something that I can pull out later in the show.
Okay. So how did you first become involved with Dexter?
I think actually it was the music supervisor, Gary Calamar, who I've known for a while. I think he actually recommended me for it. And I think one of the reasons that they responded to the tape that I sent in, or the CD or digital format, whatever it was that I had some Latin music on it. I had done some Latin stuff for a movie called The Winner, which is actually an Alex Cox film, and I've done some Latin music for I can't remember what else it was, Brave New World, a TV movie. I think the only filmed version of Brave New World. So I had a certain amount of Latin music, and since it took place in Miami, they were interested in that kind of sound, and so I think I might have been one of the few people who had thriller, horror music, and Latin music. That's not a common cross section. So I think that got them interested in me. And I also had some comedy stuff too, I think. So I had kind of a combination of things that made them interested in me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Gary Calamar, the supervisor, who brought me into the table.
All right. So, how did you develop themes for Dexter and for the or did you do that with various characters, or did you feel that you had to?
Well, the first thing I did was I knew that I upon seeing the pilot and knowing what the way that this was going to work with Michael C. Hall doing voiceovers.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote themes that had a lot of space in it, a lot of holes in it, that I knew you know, would work against him talking. So it's almost like I was writing an accompaniment to his talking. And so just very, you know, like very simple themes, you know, like... You know, that, and then I would add accompaniments to that, that rhythmic and percussive accompaniments to that. So I, you know, consciously wrote the simplest theme that was interesting. That was my goal. What is, in the least amount of notes, can I communicate the feeling with? So that this theme could work against all the dialogue and whatever. So that was my process. And I also decided to use a combination of a world percussion with more of a psychological thriller aspects with pianos and harps and smaller groups, like smaller string groups. I wanted to have an intimate sound. It's not a... Dexter's never really had a big orchestral feel to it. Well, sometimes it has swelling strings. So my thought was thinking about this kind of world percussion with it's like a chamber group of small string section with harps, piano, and odd instruments like toy pianos and playing inside the piano and guitar. Also guitars. Guitar is a fairly strong element as well, which is incorporating is getting back into having a little bit of this Latin feel because it takes place in Florida, and to keep that kind of feel in there, all tying together with the Cuban music that they're temping in. So that's a long-winded response to your question.
Well, that's fine. Now, so you mentioned quite a few instruments that you incorporate into the score, but what in fact influences, in general, instrument choice?
What influences my instrument choice?
Yeah.
Well, are you talking about for Dexter or
in general? Just in general.
Well, in general, the orchestration is really an important choice. I will always try and visualize who's playing the instruments before I'll write music. Like you kind of want to see whether it's a group of instruments or whether it's synthesizers or guitar, and I will write the music for the instruments. So I'll try and get an idea of dramatically what's right for the picture, and that influences my choice of orchestration. And I like to just pick something out of the ordinary, you know, that, you know, would catch one's ear, or I like to try and make choices that aren't the most obvious.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, how closely do you actually work with the producer in the case of a television show like Dexter to sort of shape your sound, or are you just kind of send off to compose and say, bring me back something and we'll discuss that later kind of thing?
I sit down and spot it with them. You know, at this point in the show, there's hours of music I've written.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 24 hours of music, you know, end to end. So they when they edit, they're cutting in. Generally, they're cutting in stuff that I've done. So that's always a sort of the start of the dialogue is the temp music, which happens with. Generally, that's how it goes with most projects these days. Sometimes they can't find something that works for a scene, and I'll just break fresh ground. But in general, I always, you know, try and if I feel like something's whatever they cut into the temp music, I'll say, look, I think I can do better than that, and I'll come up with a new approach. But does, you know, sometimes their response is, well, thanks for trying. No thanks. We kind of liked what we cut in. So I will work with the producers, and we'll spot together, and then I'll go away for a week or so, and then they'll come in. In fact, they just left this morning. I showed them music for the first episode, and I'll get notes from them, and then reflect that, send it down to the stage, and hopefully it all gets mixed in properly.
Mm. Now, you mentioned a little earlier in the interview about leaving holes for the narrator to speak, Dexter. And so, how important is silence as a composing tool?
Well, it's not necessarily silence, but it's space. I mean, there'll be if there's score going, there'll be some music. There's something going on.
Okay.
But I work pretty carefully around dialogue, because, you know, I learned pretty early on if you interfere with dialogue, they will turn your music down, and your music will lose its effectiveness and power. So I've always found that if I just stay out of the way of dialogue, my music gets played at a level that I like, and it's emotionally effective. So I will I'll go through great extremes not to conflict with dialogue. You know, I will never start a theme when somebody starts a sentence, because that's distracting. A new theme will come in maybe after they've started a sentence, things like that. But I will try not to play over people's dialogue if I can.
Okay.
If it's possible. Sometimes a melody just has to go where it has to go, and you don't want to misshape it too much to avoid fighting dialogue. But space is important in the sense of working with the dialogue and working around the dialogue.
Okay. Now, you've worked 5 years on Dexter, so you must have a favorite episode that you've scored.
Oh wow.
Or even a specific moment.
You know, I just, there's moments that I'm proud of. I can't, nothing comes to mind. I'm pretty happy with the first season, the end of episode 4, where there's, where Dexter drives up in this convertible. I'm happy with the way that worked. There's just scenes, they don't come to mind. I just try to do the best job I can, and hopefully it works what I'm doing.
Well, now, of course, you've had a few soundtracks for the various seasons come out. How do you make a choice? You've mentioned 24 hours of music that you've written. So how do you pare that down to a half an hour or, an hour-long disc?
It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I actually the season 2 and 3 just came out, and then season 4 is coming out in August, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually just did 2 CDs in a row, so it was a lot of work. I just try and go through, and I try and make a, give a good representation of the main themes that have occurred. And there's so many themes, and there's so much music that when I'm scoring a film, generally there's a limited amount of melodic and thematic material, and it's all about arrangements of the different themes. And I'm the kind of person who likes to take one theme and then uses the counterpoint to another theme from the, even though I'm probably the only one who would notice that, but that, I don't know, that excites me to do things like that. I've never been a person that's like, oh, this is this person's leitmotif, and this is this person's theme. It's more, I tend to go for more, there's an emotional spectrum to a film anyways, sorry, I'm just going off on a little tangent.
That's okay.
But But what I like to do is, for the Dexter, I tried to represent most of the major themes that were there, just because I, you know, people seem want to hear them, and they send me letters sometimes saying, where can I get this theme? Can I get this theme? So I definitely, you know, responded partially to that. It's like, okay, well, you know, people have asked for this theme, so I'm going to put it on my CD. And I was a little bit, I apologize, because it did take me a long time to put out the season 2 and 3 CD. And I probably should have put it out a couple years ago, or a year ago. But it's out now, so it's all available. There's now lots of Dexter music available on iTunes,
mm-hmm.
elsewhere. Does that answer your question?
That answers the question fantastically. Thank you. So, okay. Now, when you're doing a score like Dexter, and you're obviously doing, do you find that now that you've been working for 5 seasons, is there a formula you follow after that time, or are you trying to break new ground every time?
Well, I am trying to make I'm always trying to make everything better. And, you know, Dexter's going through new experiences, and he's becoming a different person, so the music has to reflect that. Then you have, in the previous season 4, you had Trinity, and he had a very strong presence, and he had, you know, he had his whole musical character really almost took over the show. I mean, the Trinity themes were all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I never want to rest on my laurels. I always want to bring something new. But that being said, there are established Dexter set themes that, you know, people want to hear and the producers want to hear, and you can't really, you don't want to just leave them aside, you know, to become a part of the sound. So I'm always doing new versions and new arrangements of material. I don't want it to sound tracked, you know. I don't want the score ever to sound tracked.
Mm-hmm. So now are you working with live players, or are you is it all coming from the computer?
I'm working with live players. I'm usually working with. I play guitar and piano and all sorts of odd percussion instruments and ethnic flutes. I play inside the piano.
Mm-hmm.
I work with a percussionist, Mark Dempsey. He's also the music editor for the show, so that's kind of convenient. And I work with, live string players, small groups. So occasionally I'll get a bigger group. If it's like for the end of season 4, I use some bigger strings, you know, when it's called for. So there's definitely live music, and there's the synth element is also important. I mean, it's a very sound designy synth
mm-hmm.
element. I make all of my own loops as well. I actually do my own, I bring in work with percussionists, and I do custom Dexter loops, you know, for the show. That's something I'll sometimes do before a season or before an episode. The loops won't just, you know, they'll be, could be very weird inside the piano or little jingly auto harp loops. I mean, they're not your typical drum loops in a
mm-hmm.
sense. Or sometimes they can incorporate voices, but it's all very sound. It's all very sound designy.
Okay. Well, I first became aware of your work on the film Thinner. How would you compare working on Thinner as opposed to working on Dexter?
Well, Thinner was, you know, it was a huge orchestra, 70 piece orchestra, and I used gypsy instruments on it.
Mainly, I'm talking about the process. You know that Thinner was 96. Dexter is 2010. What is kind of the difference between recording doing the score back then and doing Dexter now?
Well, it's interesting. Well, Thinner I wrote all entirely on piano.
Ah.
I actually wrote it all on paper on piano. So that's different. I do that less. I mean, I like to sit down and write out my themes on paper. But with real sound design-y stuff, it's easier to work with the sound sometimes than with paper. But Thinner was more, I wrote in a more traditional manner. I wrote it to click track with a piano. And it's interesting. I mean, and because also the synths were just not as good back then. In fact, and there's still dangers of writing with synths, because you tend to think when you write with synthesizers, you have to play a part and it has to be a particular tempo. But with paper, you can write down an idea. It could be any tempo, and it still could be an idea. If that makes any sense, what I'm saying, it's still a theme. Music is an abstract thought when you write it on paper. When you write on a computer, it's not abstract. It's specific. It's a specific sound that you're playing. So, but an interesting thing about what happened on Thinner was that I wrote the whole thing on piano, but the producers asked me to demo up three cues. I with synthesizers, which is more common back then. They wanted to just hear the main themes. Now everybody needs to hear everything specifically. And so one of the themes I started doing on synths, and it just sounded terrible, and I thought, oh my God, I just missed the boat on this cue. I actually took the cue out, and I put it in a pile of rejects. So I thought, oh my God, it just totally screwed up this scene. Well, and then I was planning on rescoring the scene. Well, they cut my time down so that I had like 2 or 3 weeks less to deliver the score, so I never got a chance to rewrite this cue. And I actually went to the orchestra and I recorded the cue as originally written that I had demoed up on synths and I thought was terrible. And it actually ended up being my favorite cue of the entire score.
Wow.
Because it just didn't work with synthesizers, but it worked great with a real orchestra. Because it's very hard to get a light sound with the synthesizers, a light, transparent sound. If you're going for big gothic chords, you can use their synths and get an idea, but when you want anything that's wispy, it's very hard. It's easier now that you have so many more choices of samples that you can, you have less strings in stuff like that. So that's the main difference right there.
Okay. So now, how would a score that you write today differ from one that you wrote, let's say, at the beginning of your career?
Musically,
or even your process?
Well, I mean, my process was much more working on paper.
Okay.
I've worked with synthesizers, for a while. I mean, I did sound design for Christopher Young, so that's where I cut my teeth.
I see. But musically, go ahead.
I'm sorry, what were you saying?
I was just going to say, but musically as well, how do you think that's, how would it differ?
How has my style changed?
Yeah. Or has it?
Well, hopefully I've gotten better. one of the major differences is that I had a lot more time back then. The first film that I scored with an orchestra, I think I had, 3 or 4 months. And, wow, I mean, I could put a lot more detail into it. you know, these days you're lucky if you have 3 or 4 weeks. And I think that's a shame, you know. And I've gotten faster. I'm not a particularly fast writer. I really, you know, pore over things and try different ways of doing it. And I have gotten faster because, you know, I've had to, but I can't say that I'm happy about it. So that's a huge difference. I mean, when I moved out here, you know, a composer had a guaranteed 6 weeks to write a score, and that's not including recording. And if anybody asked for less than that, you'd be like, "What are you talking about? You're crazy!" You know? And it took that long for them to get their sound together because they were cutting mag and all this stuff. And since the sound effects has gotten so much faster, that you know, no one's going to sit around and wait for a composer. They're like, you know, hey, if you can't do this in 3 weeks, we'll find someone else who can. So you basically have to learn to work fast. So that is a major difference, that you have a lot less time than you used to.
Mm-hmm. So how long are you given for an individual episode of Dexter?
I'm given a week and a half is generally what I'm given. It's not always, you know, sometimes it's 1 week and then 2 weeks, but the average is a week and a half.
All right.
So, you know, I'm pretty busy during that period.
I can imagine. Now, what is has been the most rewarding part of working on Dexter?
Well, I mean, you know, it's nice to work on a show that works well. You know, it's well acted, well written, well shot, and that the music is an important part. It's not, you know, the music really. I mean, I feel like I'm really playing a role in the show. It's not just, you know, transitional cue or whatever. You know, I mean, so much of television is so dialogue-driven that, you know, it's wall-to-wall dialogue. It's nice that Dexter has more thoughtful moments and more visual elements. It's more cinematic than most television shows. I mean, there is a lot of dialogue in it. But there's room for the music as well, which is nice. And the music is an important element. So it's just that, you know, for me, it's exciting to be part of a great project.
Well, obviously, the next season of Dexter is up for you, but do you have anything else planned for your future?
I'm also working on music for a video game right now. It's one of the... part of the Silent Hill series.
Oh, fantastic.
Which is, it also kind of has, it's a dark, very darkly disturbing video game. So it's cool. I'm, you know, mood-wise, I'm fitting right in. And it's exciting to just do something different. It's a whole new audience, and it's a whole new challenge, and a different kind of schedule, and a different way of working. So that's kind of exciting. Then there's some, you know, possible film projects, and I'm also working on some album stuff.
Huh. What can you tell me about that?
Well, I mean, eventually...
or can you talk about it?
No, I can talk about it. I mean, I'm working on some of my own material, and you could sort of think of it as being... It's not, you know, it's not that different from what I do, but I mean, I'm used to so much of my music I'll do for a show or for a film, and it'll have the constraints of not fighting with the dialogue, and so I'll tend to go for simplicity in my music. But I'm working on something now that is just the music for music's sake, and then I can do whatever I want and present what my vision of, you know, an interesting listening experience is. So, I mean, it's a long-term project, so cool. I'm hoping it'll be out next spring.
Look forward to that. Well, I really appreciate the time you've given me today. It's great to hear, you know, someone in the business as enthusiastic as yourself is towards the business.
Yeah,
right. Well, that's all I have for the interview. Just a couple of quick questions outside the scope of the interview. Just in regards to let you know that this will probably come up in about a month's time. I'm planning shows into September and October, so it'll probably be about a month and a bit before this sees air. But I just wanted to ask, would you like a copy of the program when it's done?
Sure, absolutely.
All right. Would I be able to email that to you, or do you want me to send it through Ray?
Yeah, no. Do you want my email?
Oh, if that's possible, sure. Certainly.
Sure. It's Dan Licht, L-I-C-H-T, at pacbell.net. PACBELL.net.
All right. Well, that's fantastic. No, Ray is sending me seasons 2, 3, and 4 of the music of the show. So I'll be I've got that taken care of. Also, I really want to say that I really enjoy Thinner. It's a great score from you. It's fantastic. I was thinking, you know, when Dexter first came out, and I haven't seen anything from Dan for a long time, and so when I looked in my collection and dug out Thinner and listened to that again, I went, wow, okay, now I know what this is kind of going to be like. So I'm really glad that you're working on Dexter.
Yeah, well, there's in terms of CDs, soundtrack releases, it did release Soul Survivor. Who did that? Yeah, you know, it's funny, as it became easy to kind of make your own CDs, there's less impetus to get your soundtracks put out. But I'm definitely want to go back and have some scores that I've done put out, especially even the digital format. And then I have a lot of music up at my website as well.
Okay.
At danlick.com if you want to hear what I've been up to other than.
Yeah, I'll check that out. Actually, I get a lot of people asking me about Hellraiser Bloodline. That's
that is out of print, but I think they're going to put it out again.
Okay, because that was like, I mean, I'm a huge collector of soundtracks, and I do have most of the Hellraiser series, but that's the one I don't have. So when people ask that, I go, well, I don't have it, and it's out of print. So if I talk to Dan, I'll ask and see if it's gonna see the light of day again. And
send me an email with the address, I'll send you a copy.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think I've got them lying around.
Okay, well then, like I said, that's all I have. Do you have any questions for me?
No. You're in Toronto.
Well, about an hour to the west. I'm actually in a place place called Kitchener Waterloo. It's it's like I said, about an hour west of Toronto. And so I've been doing the show. It's actually my 10th year this year, and it's been a labor of love for all that time, and I really enjoy, you know, speaking to the creators of the music as well.
Where does the show go out on?
It's actually on radio. It's a CKWR. It's a local radio station, but it's also on.
I'm from Detroit.
I'm sorry?
I'm from Detroit, you know that?
Oh, yeah, yes, you mentioned that, yes.
CKWR, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, CKWR, 98.5 FM. I'm not sure if we reach, I know we reach as far as Windsor, which is very close to Detroit, so we're very close to that area, but we can be heard online as well. So my show is 2 to 4 a.m. or 11 to 1 Pacific time. So on CKWR.com, so I can be heard streaming.
I think I'm thinking of CKRW. That was what was in Detroit, CKRW.
Okay.
Yeah. But, well, excellent.
Well, I will definitely make sure that I get that information out to you, and you will probably start receiving my my e-presses so that you'll know what's going on with the show each week. And then as soon as the show hits the air, and I will make a copy and send it to you.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you for your time today, and make it a good day.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye for now.
Have a good day.
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.